Hey, I'm Miss Chrissy.
And I'm Steve.
And you're listening to Jagcast, the podcast of the Jenkintown Arts Garage. And this is episode 140.
Yeah, this is the show where we explore the intersection of the arts and technology, often with very interesting guests, just like this episode, where we're going to be talking to Joe Montone, a concert and experience producer, songwriter, and founder of a soon-to-be launched nonprofit called Stage United. We know Joe from the Abington Arts Center Summer Concert Series here in the Jenkintown region. Right, Chrissy?
That's right. And he brought some pretty cool acts to the Summer Concert Series last year, so I'm excited to see what he has planned for this year.
Yeah, including my favorite band, Jenkintown's own Camera Thief.
Yes, your very favorite band.
Which, if I have like 5 or 6 photos from that, maybe we'll show off. We might have done it already somewhere, but
no, we did. I think we showed off your cool photos before. Yeah.
But that was a really good time. But Joe's into a lot of other things and has a very interesting long history. 14 years doing this kind of stuff. So I think it's gonna be a good conversation. So without further ado, let's bring on Joe. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Hey.
Hi, Joe.
Thanks for having me. Thank you so much, guys.
Of course. Good morning. Super early morning to talk about music, huh?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'll see you have a nice, you have like a vinyl collection back there?
A little bit. It's not too much of a collection, more of a, here's a bunch of records that I have randomly accumulated, but it's good stuff.
Nice. I don't have any vinyl. When I was a kid, though, we did. I used to listen to, what did I listen to? I used to listen to terrible records when I was a kid. Like they were terrible.
Your duck.
Yeah, I think my dad might have the Beatles and stuff. That was good, but I mean, like terrible. There was some kind of kids. There was some kids like record. Man, the Chipmunks. I remember when I was really little.
Everybody had that, right?
I know, everybody had that, right? And that's what I just remember.
Yeah. We used to go to the mall a lot growing up. Obviously, I mean, we all back in our day, we used to go to this thing called the mall. You know.
Right.
But, and, you know, forcing my dad to buy a Chipmunks cassette, it probably, like, took everything in him to be like, all right, I'm doing this. And I'm going to hear nothing but Danger Zone, the Chipmunks version from now on, you know. But luckily that fades. They're not my favorite band anymore. But,
there you go. No more love for the Chipmunks, huh? So what are you doing this summer?
So much. The Summer Concert Series at Abington Arts Center, though, is definitely a large part of my summer. And launching a nonprofit called Stage United. And I've been working with an artist by the name of Low Cut Connie out of Philadelphia as on a project with WXPN and the Ardmore Music Hall. So
cool.
Well, the Ardmore is a great place.
Oh, so fun.
I've taken some photos there. It's fun. And I believe I've met Low Cut Connie, or at least the name is definitely, I definitely know the name.
Yeah, I like to call it, you know, underdog rock from South Philly. It's very
nice.
It's definitely South Philly, rocky, you know, leaning. It's good.
So are you a musician? Is that how this all began?
That is actually how it all began. So 14 years ago, I was just starting to write my own music, write my own songs. And I wanted to, you know, find out a way to, you know, foster different relationships with artists in different states. And I thought my way of doing that would be to set up shows here, and I trade shows with them. And I just got really good at booking shows, and it really snowballed from there to the point now where it's actually like all I do. It's really amazing.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. So do you still play music, or do you just book now?
Yes. I was actually just in the studio. I have a new EP that I'm working on, and it's a trip to be simultaneously booking but also writing and writing, you know, for me and playing music. I don't know. It's definitely like an extra artery or something. You know, it's like part of me for sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what do you play? Are you a guitar player?
I play guitar and piano and I sing. I play, synth that makes some noise and stuff too.
Nice.
Fun.
Yeah.
So who can you tell us who's coming this summer, or can you, is that like a big secret?
Let's see. Let's see. I'm trying to
trying
think
to get.
about how we're rolling it out. I will say that the month of this episode in April, there will be a full announcement of our lineup.
Perfect.
And it's gonna be awesome.
Cool. So is it still the same? You have to remind me what their format is. It's Thursdays, correct?
Yeah, I can give you guys clues.
Okay. So it's on Thursday nights at the Abington Arts Center. And for those of you listening, if you haven't seen an outdoor anything at the Abington Arts Center, I gotta say, it's pretty amazing. Like, I do a lot of my dance performances there for my students, and we love it. The lawn is gorgeous, the theater is great, the kids can run around, there's like food trucks, and sometimes there's moon bounces. And is that Camera Thief? Oh no, that's
Oh yeah.
Lev.
That's Lev and then a couple Lev and then some Camera
There you
Thief.
go.
This is Camera
Yeah.
Thief.
That's a great shot, Steven.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite ones. This took a bunch of attempts. But yeah, you
Yeah.
could see how there was a big crowd that night, and it's this beautiful
The
lawn and
clouds too.
yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool over there. I love it.
Yeah.
So
This should just be a Brendan Duffy appreciation episode, honestly.
it really should be. Yeah. Brett, I had a crazier shot of him, but I didn't put it in the slide deck. But yeah, Brendan's right there
There
on
he
the
is.
keyboards. He was in both
Hard left.
bands. Great. Great guy.
So great.
We love Brendan.
So yeah, so it's Thursdays, and then you just have to, when does it, like, how long does it go? I feel like it's a little bit shorter than the Jenkintown
Is.
Tuesday night thing. Oh, I can't see, Steve.
Well,
Someone else has to
I'm
read
reading
it.
it here right now.
Okay.
If you're watching it,
Nope.
I have the website up. It's
Oh,
says
look. Okay.
5:30 p.m. Grounds open. Opening band plays 6:30. Headlining band 7:15. See, I appreciate this. The nice. This is like when many years ago when I went to like London. I went to, like 2002 or something, and right before I left, I went to see a movie. I went to see like the what was it, The Lord of the Rings Part Two, whatever. And I was just blown away at the time because they had a sign outside the theater. This was like my last day there. I had nothing to do. I was like, oh, I have a couple hours to go watch a movie. And they had a sign that said exactly when the preview started, when the movie actually started, when the doors opened. I was like, what? And it was assigned seating before that was a thing here in the United States so much. And I was like, what is
That's
this?
so
What is
funny.
this radical world? So ever so I've always had a great appreciation for someone just telling me when things actually start. And they start, and it starts, I think, on time. I mean, I think the Camera Thief show is on time, which is actually pretty impressive, Joe, because Camera Thief shows are not known to always start on time. Well, it's just because there's always so much equipment they would have to set up so far. When we
Right.
did it in Town Square in Jenkintown, it was like,
I think they were there at like noon.
yeah, they had to get there at noon. It was something like that, and they were like setting
Wow.
up. They were setting up for hours. Yeah, so. It's great that we have a very competent producer over there to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
Because
that's
that was a crazy setup. It was a crazy bunch of equipment up on stage.
Oh yeah. Luckily we got a great sound tech too that really
And we
helps
had
run the stage and expedite all that process
there were
too.
these lights and stuff which you can't really see here, but and there was like a balloon. I don't know what was this someone else? Do you have anything to do with the balloons? I mean, balloon. The what is this thing called, Chrissy? You would know.
It's a moon bounce,
The moon
Steven.
bounce. That's right. The moon bounce. Do you have anything to do with what's happening around the stage, or are you just the music?
I am the sponsorship coordinator for like 6 months, I'd say. Well, my whole this project is really like 6 months of my year. So I'm reaching out to various sponsors within the region, designing the programming of the five nights. It's like it's only quote unquote 5 nights. So this year we're trying to pack in as much music as we can. In years past, you know, with the exception of Lev and Camera Thief, it was really only featuring one artist per night. This year we're trying to do two artists each night. And really focus on local this year as well. And the, you know, third goal for me every year is to not only just, you know, book exciting artists, whatever, you know, but really hit home that this is like a soundtrack of togetherness. This is your summer playlist as the sun is setting on a Thursday night, you know, hitting that's sort of the loose theme, you know. Yeah, covering those bases is the producer role, and it's really great. It's an awesome team. Beth is in charge of the Moon Bounces.
Oh,
and nice.
We got Beth on and talk about Moon Bounces.
And everything surrounding the stage, Beth is on top of.
Yeah, there's a really good vibe at the concert series. You know, with that going on with the, like the, and it was cool from a photography standpoint to have this, like, it was just, of course, not intentional, not put there for photography, but I remember it was really cool because there was all these lights on the stage too, especially when it got darker at night. But during the when it was lighter out, when Lev was playing, like, you had this colorful backdrop I could get with the, from across the stage with a long lens. It was neat. It was really good. So it was a fun time. And they had that big, at first, I was a kind of like, I don't know if I like this giant
The scrim? I think that thing is awesome. I was I should invest in one of those for my shows.
Yeah, but I mean, when I was trying to, you know, photograph things, I was like, oh, this thing is in my way here. Mm. But then I was like, nah, this is cool because it looks cool from the front. And then I was oh, can I get something through? I noticed it was like translucent. I was like, can I get this thing to work? So I went behind the stage, and I think I got one of Lev too, but this is my favorite one from the stage.
And you achieved. That was
it took some effort. I had to I had to manually focus. That was like the trick, which I did not know if it was going to work because I could barely see anything.
Wow.
It was like, because it's like bright it was, so I had to manually focus to try to get it to not, the autofocus always wanted to focus on the screen. So I had to like do that, and so I don't know. It worked out pretty well. And then I had to do a lot of editing to try to get the contrast and stuff right.
Right, especially with the manor just in the background.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. I really wanted that in the background because one of the good shots at Abington Arts Center is from this angle. If you're not blocked, especially when there's a crowd, and that's what I was like. Oh, this sucks. This thing's gonna be in my way. But then, you know what? Then I was like, no, it's cool. So this is actually one of my favorite shots. So I grew to love this thing during that shoot. While I was sweating like my body weight out of water. It was so hot.
We had so many obstacles last year.
I can't believe the equipment managed to hold out. I mean, oh my God. Nobody passed out or anything either, like on stage.
Right. Yeah.
Wild. It was so hot. It was like 90-something degrees that day.
Yeah. Summer. Summer fun, Steve. Yeah. Summer fun.
Yeah, summer fun.
I like the heat.
You're on that moon bounce too much, man. I saw you. So I can't get enough of this. Who's in charge of that moon bounce?
So this is your third summer. How did you, is this like a, because it used to happen like pre-COVID. Like, well, how did you get into this? Like it here? Because you're not like local, like you're not hyper-local like we are, right?
Right. Yeah. It felt funny at first to be like, oh, you know, I don't know, if, like in Doylestown, you know, I feel like Jenkintown's sort of the same way. It's like, who's this outsider, you know, coming into our town and thinking he can book a concert series here. I didn't feel that way from the community, but I felt that way, you know, from having my own small town where, you know, you really gotta know your backyard, you know? And I'm glad that this has all been going well. But it started because of a concert series that I produced in Doylestown and still am producing called Picnics on Pine. It started as distance picnics through lockdown as a socially distant outdoor concert series with food and live music. It was sort of a way to activate restaurants again because they weren't even doing really much takeout or outdoor dining yet. So it was a way to a concept to have like a food court basically with live music. And it expanded from there after lockdown to become Picnics on Pine. And it's the pretty much the reason I'd say that I got in the door with Abington. Shout out to Ashara Shapiro for making the connection.
This is the website, right? I'm showing on the screen. Yes. What's this like location that's in all these photos on the?
So that is just a block away from State and Main in Doylestown, and it's a church parking lot that St. Paul's Episcopal Church donates to us every year.
That's really cool. Is that where all the shows are?
Yeah, talk about a backdrop. You know,
it's a cool backdrop. I thought it was like a farmhouse.
I thought it was a barn
something. A barn, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's cool. So it's like right in the downtown, right?
Yeah, and it's just close enough, you know, that people can walk in. It's in the borough, you know. Yeah. It's a stone's throw from the museums, but it's also just far enough away that we can still, you know, close off the street and charge an admission and, you know, make it feel like this is a true block party. You know, like if you did it any closer to State and Main, you couldn't have the vendors we have or, you know, food. And
good crowd.
Doylestown has a little like pocket of a music community, right? Like a pretty tight knit one.
Yeah. There's a lot of awesome artists actually coming out of here right now. And there's a few different bookers and different venues too.
Right. I performed at Puck once with some guy who lives in Doylestown. Devin Chekhov.
Oh, nice.
Devin, Devin the guitar.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the guy who nearly killed you with his long. So Chrissy and her dance partner Steph will do these improv dances, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one in particular, and they did a few times with Devin. I remember one.
Yeah, Devin's great for us to dance with because it's like his music really lends itself to that. But he has no concept of time, and we're like literally dying.
Give it
like,
one
was
more.
Like 15 minutes. Like 15 minutes of movement improv is like you can't walk the next day.
Wait, is that when he came to the garage? God. Is that one the one where he was at?
No,
the garage,
that was when. Oh God!
He did
something. Doesn't Round Guys?
Oh yeah, Round Guys had a place in Glenside.
Yeah, right? Okay. And we went to like an open mic with him. We did a bunch of them with him. We went to Puck with him. We went to Round Guys with him, and he just kept playing.
I remember
him playing. I haven't talked to him in a while. I mean, I certainly would be. Like, he's cool. Yeah. We did half a dozen things together. At one point. I don't even know how we met him, but
next time you see him, ask him out the dating game at Mom's and the air guitar competition at Mom's. He won the air guitar competition.
Okay,
and he was like, he made the floor. He just like, you know, swept the floor with the audience at the dating game when we did this like gag 70s, you know, game.
Oh,
show.
I could totally see that. Yeah. Oh my God! Ooh. With the hair and the
You're gonna have to explain to me how do you do an air guitar competition? Logistically, I don't even know how that works.
So before Picnics, before a lot of things, it was the first 6 years of me. Well, technically, you know, a year and a half, 2 years into me booking shows and stuff. Maxwell's on Main had me produce an entire concert series for them that lasted 6 years. It was called Craft Culture. We did it Thursdays through Sundays, and Mom's is in Doylestown. Maxwell's on Main. And so I was like, what are we going to do on a Thursday? You know, got to keep that room going, and essentially had an air guitar competition. So, you know, we did signups the night of. They would tell me what song they wanted air guitar to, and I think it had an applause-o-meter on my phone.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
You know? See, there we go. We got our technology intersection there with the phone app.
You watch the What's that movie? That Thing You Do. She was just like with the applause meter for the
Yeah.
one scene.
But I mean, like air guitar, it's just like, you know, it's like pretending to play a guitar, right? So like it was just based on applause. Okay, I got
Yeah,
it. Yeah.
you
You
gotta
gotta really
really.
ham it up
He
then,
the
huh?
he has the if Devin still has the hair, he had like the long hair, right? So that could
Totally.
really work for you. You could go with the hair metal guitar style, maybe.
Oh yeah.
Swing the hair around.
Yes.
He's funny too,
Yeah,
so
he's such a good
Oh,
guitar player though. It's
phenomenal.
scary. He's really good, you know, and he'll
That's
just sit there
great.
and he gets in like the zone, and he would, and it would, that's why I think that's why you just
Yeah, that was why we d almost died. He was in the zone, like wasn't looking up. He was playing his 12 string, and we were like, I cannot. I literally don't think I could walk the next day. It was
Yeah,
so
I remember
crazy.
that. Almost killed Miss Chrissy.
Yeah, Doyle Tony, you
Yeah,
better
that's
watch out. You know,
yeah.
us Doyle's Tonians with our guitars,
Yeah.
we'll tire you out.
Yeah, it was fun though. It was one of my, more memorable improvs,
That's
So
great.
have
Yeah,
you fun.
there's a few venues in Doylestown. I was managing and operating Puck for the last 2 years. Tile Works has a outdoor bluegrass series. They do shows inside the Tile Works as well, which I'll be hosting in April, at the end of April. And besides the picnic series, Puck is actually under new management now.
Oh, okay.
And they're doing shows again. And
Oh, we should go through your dates while we're talking about things.
oh, sure.
Okay, I
And
can't. Again, I can't. Somebody else has to read here.
I can read them,
Okay,
but
great.
yeah, you're talking about your the Tile Works thing. I've seen that. I think Brendan has shared that over
Oh,
stuff
yeah.
at Tile Works. But yeah, we have
Yeah,
a list of.
Brendan
Yeah,
is
Brendan's.
part of the Tile Works crew.
Oh, he's part of the crew over there?
Yeah. He
Nice.
that's one of his day jobs.
Oh, all right. What does it do? What does the Tile Works do? Like, what
The
do they
Tile
make?
Works is this is my, local sort of interpretation, not the full interpretation. It is Henry Mercer's studio. Henry Mercer was a tile maker and just like an adventurer, explorer kind of guy. This is terrible. This is not the tour you're gonna get at Tile Works. He built two castles in Doylestown, one for living in and one for his collection of old architectural tools, and it's phenomenal. The one with the tools and stuff is called Mercer Museum. And yeah, I mean he built these out of concrete because he was afraid of fire. So it's just like him and a horse and a little crew back in whatever year. They should really hire me for this tour. And the Tile Works is where he made tiles similar to his process with the concrete to build the castles. And it's they still use that process today with all the old the old techniques, his
Wow.
technique.
So they're
Yeah.
literally making tiles.
Oh yeah. And it is just like talk about a photo shoot. Every corner nook of that place is just, it's there was no designs. This guy just was making rooms as he went along with his concrete and his friends, I guess his buddies. And yeah, it's definitely an amazing atmosphere for concerts.
Is it the Tile Works of like what Bucks?
Yeah, it's in Bucks County.
Did you ever see Drunk History?
Wait, I
That's
think I
what I
found
feel
them.
like I just did. It's just like, yeah, him and his buddies and a horse. You
Is
should
this it?
definitely
Is this
go
the
get the tours, do the Doylestown thing.
Is this
I mean,
the place?
that's Tile Works right there.
Yeah, so if you're watching, you can see a little the website has a photo
Ooh.
of the outside of it. Very cool, very cool. And they have tours and stuff. So
Yeah.
yeah, so you have a bunch of events coming up though, from
Yeah.
starting
Oh
in
my
April
goodness.
14th. So if you're listening to this or watching it live, it should be out before your events list here. But you got stuff happening at the Abington Arts Center, and you have a fundraiser. It's at Human Robot. Is that Human Robot Jenkintown or the one?
Yes.
Okay. So yes. I was going to ask you if you've been to Human Robot Jenkintown. Apparently you have.
Yeah, oh, love it. Love it so much.
The brunch series is great if you like jazz. If you haven't been there for that yet.
Well, we're going to take over the brunch series on April 14th with Music Bingo, and all the proceeds from the bingo itself are going to Abington Arts Center for the Summer Conscious Series. And I'm not going to say that they're going to do $1 per beer goes to the concert series, but they did last year. So, hey, we'll both be surprised.
Yeah.
But the Human Robot crew over there is just so great and so supportive. And yeah, that's going to be a fun day. We're doing that from 12 to 4 on April 14th with my buddy DJ Alex Bantz. All the bingo cards are going to have band names on it. We're going to be playing, you know, The Clash, you know, Blondie, whatever, new indie hits, new wave, 80s stuff, whatever feels good for brunch. And we'll just be shouting out the band name if it's on your card, win some prizes from local businesses. And
nice.
It's going to be a great, great way to start the day.
Oh, and your says on your list, you're performing.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's so funny. People will be like, yo, you ready for that show coming up? And I'm just like, oh, what are you talking about? So it's crazy. I'm glad other people know. April 30th, I'll be hosting a night of song at Tileworks, actually. This place we're talking so much about, you could actually see it for yourself. Yeah, I'll be guest hosting, playing a few songs in between sets by fellow Pinans out of Oregon and Baron Tiger from Doylestown. So going to be a night of songwriters. I'll be introducing each artist, maybe ask them a couple questions about the process. And we got a bake shop pop-up from Crossroads Bake Shop. Some refreshing ciders on site. It's going to be great.
Cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and then of course you have your picnics on Pine we talked about coming up, and then more things happening in Doylestown and the Abington Arts Center's concert series, all this stuff. I'll put this list of things in the it'll be on the website on the Tech Arts Cards website on the show notes here. We'll put the list in here so you can see the dates. So yeah, I don't know. Is there anywhere else that you have the stuff listed all in one place, or you just email us the list?
Yeah, I do have an email list, and you can get that by scrolling down to the bottom of picnicsonpine.com.
Oh, cool.
That's not my main hub, but I'm working on a main hub right now with the
I know what you mean.
The nonprofit, you know, I still got to adjust 2024 for the picnics too. There,
that's it down here at the bottom. But, so before we actually like move on to the end, we did introduce you saying you were starting a nonprofit. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah. And it's kind of cool. I, you know, gave you guys sort of an overview of the last 14 years. But through that experience at Maxwell's on Main, with Picnics on Pine, even with Abington, with Puck, you know, the last 2 years producing. I produced probably 50 shows out of Puck last year before the new management renovated, which are great. Those guys are great. The Great Barn, hit them up. The thing I learned the most through all those experiences was that we need a nonprofit to sustainably present this kind of programming. You know, we don't have a theater that holds 1,200 people. I don't know if we even have a community that wants to go out to a theater every night, you know? So even if we had a massive place, you know, could that even be sustained by, you know, ticket sales and beer sales alone, you know? So the nonprofit would essentially be a, just the engine for concerts that you normally wouldn't see in areas like ours. It's called Stage United, and it's just that infrastructure that we're sort of missing in presenting original live music. It would partner with venues like the Tile Works, like Abington Arts Center, whoever has, you know, a non-traditional space, even in traditional venue spaces. You know, we could, it gives us more freedom and more infrastructure again to present something that would be really hard to otherwise.
Probably helps with like fundraising and sponsorships and all that stuff as well.
For sure. I mean, we have this area that, you know, wants and needs live music. I don't know if we necessarily have like, we don't have traditional venue spaces, which is great because that gives us a special intimate, you know, way of experiencing live music. But yeah, can we do it together this time?
Yeah, we did a few things when we had the actual physical garage. It was a very non-standard space. We did a variety of things, including musical stuff, and it was actually it was fun. This is the one photo I have of the internal inside of the garage here. But yeah, we used to we had like a game show back during the pandemic when you couldn't do anything, you know, and yet we had to be like outside. So this is technically kind of outside because we just opened the doors and we do things like it mostly in front. And it was a lot of fun to have music in, as you said, non-standard venues. It was a good time. But once everything opened up again, you know, like we were barely
It's a tougher sell to get people to hang out in a
and you know, weather was like an issue and stuff. Yeah. So it's like it'd be one of the things we were always thinking about is like there's not a lot of great venues like around our area for live music. There's the Abington Arts Center, obviously, but it's outside. And again, like we Chris and I used to be part of the rec board that would organize a summer music series in Jenkintown. But again, that's like outside in town square. We get like sometimes they get canceled, you know, with the weather. Right. It's like, where do you go? We had Human Robot. Thankfully, they came in here and they've been really gung ho about bringing in music. That's a non-standard place. That's cool. You know, and some of the other bars and stuff, but there's not like a good like concert venue per se anywhere nearby. And so that's cool. You're working on this and bring it. But I've seen like the last couple of years a lot more posts from the Tile Works thing. I still haven't been there. I want to go out to it, but I thought that was really cool.
It's breathtaking for sure. Yeah. I mean, the grounds there, just like Abington. There's a lot of crossover. there's a lot of crossover in general, I think, between Jenkintown and Doylestown as far as you know, the downtown, the community feel, and the grounds of Tile Works,
stunning. I gotta get out there.
Like you're saying, I mean, even if we had, you know, like a theater, whatever, it's still about like, hey, you know, can we market this thing? Can we afford to pay artists, you know, because, you know, in our small communities, I don't know if we have like, you know, the same audience as a major city, which, you know, is, I mean, triple probably what our actual population is anyway.
Yeah.
But
it's hard. No, I'm saying even in the city, it's hard to get people to come out to shows often.
Yeah,
you saw the Grape Room just closed.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
that's wild.
I don't know what the deal was. I think it was a lease thing. But I remember they announced it in December, and they just posted that they're like done.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, learning at Puck, you know, doing the books and stuff like that. Even just for the shows, I mean. It's really challenging to, you know, sustain a venue, even like a small club, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, the Royal's doing something in Glenside.
Oh, right. We should mention the Royal. We like the Royal. We've been over there several times. We should have a whole show about the Royal because they're great. The Royal is like, if Chrissy and I had done like the garage for like a job, we probably would have ended up with something like the Royal, a small location that was doing had like a stage and doing these intimate and interesting shows over there.
I know that is my next chapter, you know, and
they became a nonprofit, right?
Yeah, they became a nonprofit recently. Somewhat recently. Yeah,
maybe that is just the structure you need in order to get live music, because it's just very, very hard to do it profitably. And then because it's not just like the profit like you think of revenue minus expenses, but the taxes and stuff that eat into the margin even more.
Yeah, and another thing is like, do you guys have this experience in Jenkintown where you go, remember that place that used to do that thing?
Yeah.
Or like, remember that time that we used to have this cool concert series, blah blah blah. Yep. You know, like that is totally our experience too.
Yeah, you need some kind of structure to keep it going. So in Jenkintown we have the recreation board, which is organized music and stuff, but that's like a volunteer thing and it's hard to get people. So nonprofits is like kind of in between, right? So it's like, you know, you're not making, you know, the profit from it or anything, but it's more organized than just a typical volunteer group would be.
Right.
And you could hire actual people and stuff like that.
Totally.
So that's great. Maybe that is just the future. Maybe you were a pioneer in the future here of live music in the suburbs anyway. Maybe everywhere. You know?
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see what you know. Do you don't have a particular like a web page or anything, any public information yet about this?
That is in the works. By May, we'll be making, I think, a bigger splash. But Stage United, this is actually the first time I'm actually talking about it, so.
Okay, so look out for more info in May of 2024 here.
I mean, unless you're like somebody that's talked to me for the last 2 years, then you've heard everything about it, and maybe only that. Like, Pepe Silvia from from Always Sunny, where he's pointing at the board, you know that thing.
Yeah.
He's just like going insane, like
that meme is everywhere. I love that one.
How was that meme?
It's like yeah, it was on it's like
the mail room.
Dude, Always Sunny has been on so long. I mean, like, and it's still going on. It's crazy. The show is hilarious.
I just love that meme.
So many memes come out of the show. Yeah. Oh man. So, I think it's been really great having you here. We're not done yet, but I think we're gonna try to move on to our last segment, which is going to be a game called Something. Right, Chrissy.
Great.
Okay, Steve. Are you gonna try to explain it?
Uh-oh, okay, so a game called Something. It's more of an activity than a game, as I say, because there's not really any winning or losing, and the rules are very simple. Chrissy has a book of colored cards. You will pick one of the colors from this list here of colors, and then
I love your description, Steve.
Yes, and then Chrissy will choose
book of colors.
Yes, exactly. Then Chrissy will choose a card that's one of those colors, and it has a question on it, and then we'll all answer the question and learn something about each other. And usually, this is when the show tends to go off the rails.
You always say that the rails are loose. Yeah. It's fine.
Well, okay. Sometimes it's gone into weird directions during this. Sometimes it's been.
You
just
never
more
know
insightful.
What happens. Yeah. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
You get to choose. Okay.
Yeah.
He has it up there for you. It's gray, orange, green, yellow, Sharpie blue.
You're the one who named it Sharpie blue.
And bright orange.
I'm feeling I'm feeling green.
There you go.
Final answer.
Can you give me how to read this without your glasses?
Yes. Okay, what is a job you would be terrible at?
I know for sure that it is. Wait, is it like just any job?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little 3x5 card with some writing on it. Any job you would be bad at. And
I tried roofing for a month and it felt like 5 eternities. I was like, I'm going to write off music completely. I'm just going to become a carpenter and, you know, laborer.
Didn't go
I
well
hate painting too. I would just if I hire friends like money, like I'm just please paint. If I go into a new apartment, hate painting.
No manual labor for you.
Yeah,
or not the trades rather.
No, I cook. Is that manual labor? I like cooking.
Cooking, yeah. Cooking. I mean, it depends on what kind of cooking, whether how much
labor. I don't
labor
know. Is that manual labor?
I guess it depends. Counts. Depends on what kind of cook you are doing, I guess. I guess it's not technically manual labor, but it can be definitely laborious, depending on what you're doing.
Yeah, right. No, no touching walls or putting up walls. I just can't.
There you go. Okay.
No construction, rather.
Yeah.
What about you, Steve? What are you going to do poorly?
I think I would be terrible as a Walmart greeter.
You would be terrible at that.
Immediately Christy knows. I don't really want to greet people. I don't like people that much in general. Like, I think I would just go mad with all the people constantly talking to me when they come in, or just ignoring me. I don't know which way it goes at Walmart anymore. But yeah, I don't think I'd be very good. Anything that's like people centric, because I'm a software developer is my actual job. I can get along with people fine. I'm a little exaggerating, but it's like my default state is to work like alone on things.
Yeah.
And definitely I'll get tired if I have to do like a lot of social interaction. You know, it doesn't invigorate me like it does a lot of people. It just makes me tired having to like meet and greet and stuff like that. So I wouldn't be very good. I wouldn't be very good as a politician then either, because I don't want to kiss babies and like lie constantly.
Operator.
You know. But yeah, greeter. Walmart greeter is not probably the retirement job for me.
I think like data entry. Okay. I would be really bad at data entry. One, I don't sit still well.
Right.
And apparently I'm blind now. Also, I hate numbers. So all of those things would be bad for me.
Yeah. I think sometimes that I'm good at, you know, data entry and stuff like that until it's like, oh, y'all are already finished. And I'm just, you know,
I don't have the patience for like tedious and monotonous things either. You know, I just like.
Not going to become a programmer.
No, I could not be a programmer.
Christy will call me up and she'll be like, what are you doing? What's up? And I'm like, and I'll just describe literally what I was just doing programming-wise.
I'm like, no.
That's like, I was adjusting the corner radius. The other day I was like, I was adjusting the corner radius of different views in the to match between a hierarchy and an app or something.
So I was like, oh, horrible. No, that's terrible. Yeah.
What would our terrible job be together, though? Like, what is this business we're talking about? Oh. Like,
where I'm a Walmart greeter, Chrissy's data entry or something.
I'm just terrible.
And painting. You're like a terrible painter. What is this job?
I don't know. I'm thinking. Business?
It's like it sounds like an episode of It's Always Sunny. It's like
true.
The gang gets new jobs. Yes.
So good.
Also, I would probably be a bad waitress person, but that's okay.
Oh wow. Yeah, my grandmother was a waitress. She's telling me stories about being a waitress and she was apparently she could count everything. She could do the money. So they would sometimes if someone would try to like rip her off with the tips or whatever, like the other she'd catch them.
Yeah. Somehow I went through 4 years of art school and a decade of being a professional dancer and never worked as a waitress. Don't know how.
Wow.
Yeah. Neither have I.
Yeah.
I never had to
where
work
all my friends were. Waitresses and that was the go-to
doing
side hustle
next
yeah I didn't have to I didn't do any like fast food or anything like that either. So I was lucky. Even since high school I was always been a computer guy. I was like my I had a co-op or not co-op it was I guess it was a co-op it was like I worked at the tech school in Eastern Center for Arts and Technology what's called. I worked there. So my senior year, I got like an internship, I guess, there in the IT department there. Essentially, I was working on the network system there.
Wow.
I think the closest I had was a job at Gateway Country before I started college, which doesn't even exist. But that was when there was a computer company called Gateway Computers.
Yeah.
They made these boxes.
Like, wait, you're talking Gateway right now.
Gateway, but yeah, I've ever had boxes that were like, the cow boxes. Well, they used to have stores. And I worked at the desk that brought in the computers for repair. Like I wasn't repairing them, which is what I wanted to be doing, but I was bringing them in. So that was like the close side. That was the worst job I ever had for me because I hated it. Because again, the people thing. I had to constantly deal with annoyed, angry people like computer illiterate people too, and like and there's ancient, they had this ancient computer system that you had to, for the entry and everything was like this horrible, yeah, this horrible system, and I used to have nightmares from it because the phone always ringing, so I'd have dreams of the phone like ringing and then me answering it with whatever the spiel was I was supposed to do when you answer the phone, funny. And it was awful for literally for like a year after that or something. they wanted me to come back. Ooh. When I left to go to college, they're like, oh, they really wanted me to come back. They really wanted me to be there part time or something because I was apparently really good at it. I was like, wild. No, I can't. My
yeah.
like,
lose my mind.
Like, I can't
smoking.
Deal with this.
I'm
yeah.
17.
I know. I was like, I can't. This is obviously not for me. And it wasn't a bad job or anything at all. It's just my personality does not like to constantly deal with people all day long. So yes. There you go. Should we try another one?
All right, let's do one more. My building is waking up now, so we have to
one more
hustle it up. There's a bunch of CrossFit over here is doing some sort of thing this morning, so
oh, fun.
There's like droves of people walking past me. Anyway, Joe, pick a color.
Oh wait, we did the color. Is this another color?
Yeah,
another
a
color.
Different color.
All right, cool. Hang, I'm gonna go with yellow.
Oh, yellow. Okay, hold on.
At least you didn't do gray.
Oh, this one is appropriate. Yeah, don't do gray.
Chris hates gray.
I hate gray.
She keeps it in the book. She hates gray.
I don't want to lose it all together. There's only two left. I've destroyed the rest of them. So, okay, what's your first concert you ever went to?
Oh, Vans Warped Tour 2002.
Oh.
Yes.
There you go.
That was with my cousin John, who I partially blame for all this music stuff. And yeah, we got to see like Taking Back Sunday on like a side stage. Brand New was on a somewhat side stage too. I mean, it was like the year before the, you know, gigantic mainstream explosion for all those bands. And cool. I had some blue hair gel. I was 13 and I was super cool.
Nice.
I was not. I was sarcastic. But yeah.
Steve, what was your first concert?
I don't know if I remember what my first concert was. I didn't actually go to a lot of concerts, believe it or not. Like, I'm not a people person. Man, I don't even remember. Did I even go to any concerts when I was a kid? It was not a thing in my family to go to like concerts.
I don't know. Ooh. Did you go to
besides,
a concert
besides,
as a
like,
kid?
School concerts or something. Later on, I did go to a Weird Al concert. That was
yo.
That was awesome. That was here. That was nearby. That was at the what's the theater that's in,
like, oh, at Keswick.
Yeah, it was at Keswick. Yeah, it was like Weird Al at Keswick.
Amazing.
I don't know if that was the first one, but that's the one I like comes to mind when I think about it. What's like a concert I went to a long time ago? I mean, I go to a lot of shows.
The Chipmunks live.
Chipmunks
there
are,
you go.
Yes. I mean, I go to a lot of shows in places like, and I've gone in Philly and in the suburbs and Broken Goblet and stuff, but that's not what you mean by concert, I think. So, like official, we went to a concert in Jersey, and Chrissy, what was that?
I don't remember it. That was a band you cared for,
oh,
and
right.
Not me. So
anyway, but yeah, maybe it was that
it was like
Weird Al
hair
show.
Metal or
you know,
something.
Yeah, we're gonna
I was
say.
Like, ah.
No, I think it was Hailstorm.
Okay.
Okay, we're gonna say that it was Weird Al because I can't remember anything earlier
Chrissy,
than that.
What was you?
Cyndi Lauper.
Sick.
At awesome. Five.
What year was that?
That was
that's a very show producer question. Like
that yeah. was oh my god, I'm so old. That was like 39 years ago or something. I was a little kid. My mom and my aunt took me to a bunch of concerts like in the 80s, like Cyndi Lauper, George Michael.
I was asking if it was like 85
yeah.
when Shebop, you know, and all that.
Yeah. Well, I named my first kid after Cyndi Lauper, so you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
hardcore
Abington
fan.
Art Center summer concert series.
Yeah. And I saw her again, like in the early 2000s, like up in the, I think up in like Meadowlands or something.
Wow.
And she was amazing because she was like 50, but man, she was amazing. It was awesome.
Yeah. The executive director, Rosalie at Abington Art Center.
Yeah.
They,
she's cool. I like her. She's funny.
They went to high school. They were friends in high school.
Oh my gosh. Next time I go there, I'm going to like stalk her. Oh, that's amazing. That's super cool.
Good stories.
Yeah. Oh man. Now I'm like, I need to stop by there for something. Fun. Yeah. Apparently I saw Madonna, but I don't remember that. Like before she was big in Baltimore somewhere or something.
Wow. That is wild.
Yeah. But yeah, my aunt and my mom were like friends. Obviously sisters, but they used to do, that was like their thing. And then they would just like tag me along, even though it was real little.
That's amazing. I some people have that experience for sure. And some people have, you know, their first concerts in their 20s or 30s. And
yeah, I mean, my daughter only went to like her first concert last summer. So, and she's 17 now. So,
yeah.
I mean, it was cheaper back then. So, you know,
I only really started going out to like see live music last, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years or something. Like, I really wasn't doing a lot before then, but then I started taking photos to give myself something to do when I was there. And then
after the gateway crash, it was just,
that got me into going, because then I was, I felt more comfortable going there, and then I was taking
that's
photos.
Great.
So,
I mean, thank you for those amazing shots. And that, you know, it's just like, that's the coolest part about, you know, a music community and stuff like that, you know, that like you can use it as your platform to, you know, have the time capsule of that experience, you know, like,
yeah, yeah. Indeed. Oh, I go back and see the photos often, and we met a lot of interesting people through the music scene just because I took photos once or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame though. I'm not like an actual like full-time photographer or anything. It's just a hobby. And so like sometimes I have photos that I haven't like released from like years or a year ago or 2 years ago or stuff for things because I'm like busy. It's a lot of work. I don't know how the people who do it for a living manage to do it. It's just, and maybe it's just my style of editing. My style of photos is like highly labor intensive to do the photos. So it takes so many hours. I could not do this for any reasonable amount of money.
About that. Like, yeah. We're talking, you know, things were a little cheaper growing up, but also like, do you imagine like producing a concert series without a laptop? or being on the road with an artist without a cell phone.
The technological advancements we have today have made things a lot easier, and right. Yet it also means that like the amount of output expected or the quality expected is higher too, like the, you know, like photo is a good example where, you know, you had, if you're going with film, you have different considerations, and one of them obviously being you only have so many shots you can take.
Right.
So you can't just shoot and spray photos. But with digital cameras, obviously you end up with so many photos, but it gives you the opportunity to get shots that would have been much more difficult, maybe impossible to get if you were doing film, because you can adjust things more quickly on demand. But the consequence is you end up with like thousands of photos for a night, and then you got to go through it. So now it's like you the digital stuff has made it easier to capture, but then it's a lot more effort to go through it in some ways, not as much as like developing, like, you know, actual film, but you got to go through like 1,000 photos and pick them. Then editing is a lot easier because obviously you're not literally editing like physical, you know, I don't have to like physically mess with stuff, it means the number of options you have has like become, you know, exponential. So it's as the technology improves, you know, it's like the standards get higher and higher and higher. And you see it everywhere. And I mean, I see that in the software space too, like, because I'm an app developer. Like, I'm on Apple's platform. And it's like, what counts as a standard level, like it's a minimal level for an app now, it's like so much higher. So I'm trying to build something. And it's like, oh my God, the amount of things I have to do now that just to get something at a minimal level is so much more than it was a few years ago. But that's progress, right?
Yeah, in a way. It is very far out. You know, I've been, I'm not like one for nostalgia usually, but you know, the last few weekends been really rainy and just had nothing there to do. So I was watching some like, you know, Vice docs about, you know, the 90s and Y2K and stuff. I'm like, yo, that was only like 20 years ago.
I know. I remember Y2K. People think that was like a big joke, and it really was not totally a joke. Like, people, there were billions and billions of dollars. Like billions of dollars were spent to fix computer systems. Like, and everybody thinks it was a joke because nothing bad happened. Well, not anything too bad. And I was like, that's partly because companies spent billions of dollars fixing it. Like, it was a thing. People were literally paid to fix it. Like, these bugs were everywhere. I would
love to be like, yo, how'd you retire? I cure, you know, Y2K.
Office Space is a great movie because they mentioned the Y2K. I think that's like one of the plot points that they're fixing Y2K bugs. That is a classic 90s reference, Y2K, because nobody cares about it. Man, I wrote an article from like newspaper for in high school about, I think, Y2K, and I said it wasn't going to end the world, but it was like definitely something people were fixing. I think that's what I said. It was a long time ago, but then I just remember all the sensational headlines about it. Is Y2K going to end the world? And people were like stocking up and getting ready for an apocalypse and stuff. I was like, that's a little ridiculous. I think we'll be fine. Reboot the computer. It'll.
Oh my god. Wildest time.
Yeah, it was wild. But I agree. The 90s were 80s, 90s, man. They were different times. And it wasn't that long ago. I mean, 20 years.
I know.
It feels like a long 20, 25 years. It's actually more like 30 years now. Think about it. It's 2024. So it's at least 25 years since the 90s. So, we're old. Chris and I are very old.
Yeah, I mean, no app updates here. Yeah, you know, this is at least what you get, I think, at this point. Okay.
Well, I think that is about all the time we have. What time is it?
We're ending on that note.
We're old.
No app development.
We're gone.
We will not fix your roof.
But before we wrap things up, where can people find more of you and what you're up to? Where should they go?
I think best place for right now, as Stage United is still forming in the next couple. This month and next, friend me on Facebook, Joe Montone. Follow me on Instagram at Joe the Heat, and you can go to at Picnics on Pine as well on Instagram. And come out to the summer concert series. Starts June 27th at Abington Arts Center. Goes every Thursday through August 1st is our last night.
Beautiful.
And we got some great shows ahead for you.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Yay. I really like that series. I'm excited. I love the space. Yeah, it's a good one.
I was just listening to the Jenkintown 150 episode, so I want to hit up.
Oh, nice.
Ben, right?
Yeah, you should hit up Ben. Yep. Ben Bergman. Yep. We're definitely.
What are we going to do for a 150? I was just asking.
I don't know.
Yeah, we don't have a place anymore, so it's gonna have to be like.
That's
something.
What I'm saying. So I'm just like, they don't have a concert on the books yet. I think let's talk.
That's a good idea.
A 150. Yeah, that would be cool.
Do it.
Okay. So what time is it now, Chrissy?
It's time to wrap it up, Stephen. Time to wrap it up.
We got CrossFit to do.
So if you're enjoying the show, please follow us on YouTube at Jenkintown Arts Garage, or our Instagram at Jenkintown Arts Garage, or the Facebook at Jenkintown Arts Garage. And also, if you want to really help us out, please subscribe, like, and share the video on YouTube, and ring that bell, all the things that the YouTubers say, because it actually helps, because YouTube does not know we exist unless people subscribe and interact with the videos. If you want to get the full audio backlog, it's currently on jagcast.show, but our main website, jenkintownartsgarage.com, you can find links to everything there, including all of the video versions of the podcast and more stuff to come in the future. And right now, if you'd like to help us financially, go to jenkintownartsgarage.com/coffee and buy us a coffee and help us pay for the web hosting and et cetera for the show.
Coolness. Sorry.
Excellent.
Yeah, looking around.
Yeah, so I guess the point is go to jenkintownartsgarage.com. So thanks a lot, Joe, for coming. It's been a really good conversation. Guys. Hopefully we'll have you on again. I think the summer concert series is going to be really fun. I'm excited to see who the lineup is going to be.
I know. I'm very eagerly awaiting the...
Thank you, yeah.
...the announcement.
Very excited, too.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, so now you get to check out our amazing theme music. So here we go. So I wish we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Thanks, Joe.
So much, guys. We're learning to break the ice together.